flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Limits before we get to George Michalowski. Two more very quick six-pack items. Crack one, please. Bob McKeesport High School's gym, Nene Campbell Gym, has been renamed or named in addition with this name, Swin Cash. Was there last night. She went on to star at UConn. Now she works for the New Orleans Pelicans, Senior VP of Basketball Operations and Team Development. That is awesome. What a great player she was.
And, you know, she was doing stuff back then when you didn't hear a lot about women's basketball as much as you do now. And she's one of those pioneer types who's, because of her performances and what she meant to the sport, elevated the game. And so congrats to her. That was a wonderful scene, especially when you get naming the entire place after you.
So I mean, cool.
What more can you do?
She autographed the court. I love it. Last one, Limits. Why, thank you. Pirates sign Adam Frazier. Bob, I'm going to tell you something here. This happened yesterday, and I never even talked about it. Like, I have no inclination to even talk about this. I almost feel like someone's going to turn on the lights here and say, you know, it's going to be one of those, you know, like the old candid camera. We were just joking. This wasn't really the Pirates offseason. Here's what they really did. Adam Frazier? Really? At 33 years old, coming off a 202 season? No, thank you, Bob.
Well, that means if you look at what the biggest signing they've made in this offseason is Andrew McCutchen coming back at 1 year.
He's probably going to be their cleanup hitter.
And again, I've said it before, all due respect to him, he's one of the best in the history of the franchise, but you got to upgrade your positions, and that's one of them they need to be upgraded. Now, they will tell you that just like last year, they're going to, you know, you're going to see some names that don't have places to go, wait for the price to come down, the bargain hunt, and they'll sign some guys.
No, they'll get the next Rowdy
Michael
Tellez.
Taylor, you know. Those
yeah, Michael A. Taylor.
And all you end up with
Edward Olivares. Who
14
went,
guys who make less than $2 million a year.
Yeah, right.
And you'll be counting on them. I've said for many years, and I'll say it again, I'd rather have one. If you're going to spend $29 to $35 million total in your free agent season, give me one bat at that. Give me a guy, sign him for 3 years, $100 million.
Are they spending that much in free agency?
But no, I'm saying right now it's only like 10. But yeah. I got to imagine there are going to be other players coming in here, don't you think? There will be.
Players in quotes? Or well, no. Adam Frazier coming off a 290 yeah, on base percentage?
My point is they're going to give a whole bunch of those one-year deals. Sorry yeah. about that.
Breaking news?
No.
What is that?
Any news, Bob?
Do you mind
Bob,
if I take it?
Do you have breaking news? No, if you have to take it, please.
Yes, Mr. Schefter, please sit off the set and let us know what happens when you return.
Let's go to George Michalowski. What is happening here? There's phones ringing and people talking all over the place.
Is your phone ringing?
No, it's
Bob. My phone rang earlier.
Bob did everything. George writes for Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers Pitt basketball. And George, you've been on it. Even when Pitt was struggling, I would ask you every week, are they going to make the tournament? Are they going to make the tournament? You were steadfast in saying yes, but you thought last night's game going into it was gigantic. Man, it sure feels that way today, yes?
Certainly. Certainly, Joe. I think that win definitely moved Pitt up a couple spots on the eyes of the NCAA Tournament Committee, the bracketology experts. I think although North Carolina has struggled this year and they've lost a lot of games, they're still an extremely talented team. I talked about this with Donnie Football yesterday. I mean, this team, R.J. Davis, is a Conference Player of the Year. They've got five stars all over the court. So it was a big win for Pitt. I think morale-wise, too, like picking up a win in front of a crowd like that really just energized this program even more going forward.
So, George, there are a lot of keys to the game. Zach Austin's going to get a lot of attention, and well, that he should. But I really thought the key to this win was an immediate response led largely by Jalen Lowe when it was a 10-point deficit, and it looked like North Carolina was going to maybe extend that as they went into halftime. Instead, he got hot on an 8-0 run, and it was his 2 3-pointers back-to-back. You could see a guy who wants to step up in those situations, and I thought that enabled them to come back in the second half.
I agree with you. I mean, it was that last 4 minutes of the first half felt like make or break. Like, Pitt got down. They had battled back already a couple times, but we'd seen in the first 5 years of Capel's tenure, you know, that happens, and then the rest of the game's a wash. Pitt falls apart. Now they've got guys like Jalen Lowe. Last year they had Blake Hinton, who lived for the moment and want to keep the team in it, even when it gets bad. So that was a really good point, Bob. I mean, the end of that first half, that personal 8-0 run was huge. I actually noticed in the second half, I believe there were around 10 minutes to go, and Jalen Lowe had just taken a bad shot. He got blocked. UNC went the other way. It was a couple possessions in a row when Pitt couldn't get points. Jeff Capel called a timeout, or it was a media timeout, and Lowe went to the huddle. Looked like Capel, from my point of view, was not chewing him out necessarily, but really getting on him. Next possession, Jalen dives on the floor twice in a row, if you'll remember, poking the ball out from R.J. Davis and then almost poking away from Seth Trimble, led to a turnover, and then Pitt hit a huge three from Guillermo on the other end. So Jalen, I mean, I think they're really proud of him for that performance last night. 18-6-7 is nothing to joke about, and I know he had three turnovers, but as a team, this team's taking care of the ball better than it has all year in the last two games with 9 combined turnovers. It's looking really positive for Pitt right now.
George, does this win for Pitt say more about the Panthers, or does it say more about the team that North Carolina is this year?
Man, I think it says more about Pitt. I do. I mean, North Carolina, there's a lot of pressure down there. We went to the post-game press conference yesterday. It took them 30, 40 minutes. They didn't even come up to the press room. We had to go outside the locker room, and they were really down about that loss, and they've got Duke coming up. But that team's so talented, man. Their losses are to Kansas and Michigan State and Auburn. Like, they've played the hardest teams in the country. So I think they'll figure it out. Their ACC record is still pretty strong. So as long as the national pressure doesn't get to them, I think they could still make the NCAA tournament. Now, I learned a lot about Pitt last night. I mean, we saw that defense take it up to a notch that we haven't seen all year. Zach Austin, are you kidding me? Like, he looked like an NBA 3-and-D wing for probably, I'd say, one of the first times this year other than Ohio State. I mean, those blocks were incredible. 2 blocks in the last minute and a half, 2 go-ahead threes in the last 5 minutes. Like, he was playing at a level where they need him to play. I mean, they've had Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett leading the way as a pair all year, and now you add in these guys like Austin and Corin, making big plays down the stretch. It's a winning formula.
George, Bob, thanks. You're a wonderful man. Thank you for joining
us. George.
We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right.
There he goes, George Michalowski, Pittsburgh Sports Now.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, Jay Williams at the end of that broadcast last night, kind of intimating that North Carolina looked like they threw in the towel when there was still time left. He's like, they're not even gathering as a group to talk about it. You watch Pitt, you know, they are before these free throws. There was still like 30 seconds left, Bob. And from his observations, it was like North Carolina was like, this one's done.
Yeah, I think they were just totally discombobulated.
Yeah.
Hubert Davis even looked confused to me on the sideline there. But I thought Pitt, to his point about the second half, you know, they scored 44 points to North Carolina in the first half. Second half, 21, that's it. And they started the second half 5 straight points, and then they were limited to 16 points the rest of the way over the final 17-30. I mean, 16 points, that's it? That's a clamp down on defense, and it put pressure on them.
Big time. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19. Peters Township, it's time for Starkey's Card of the Week with the General. General Patton. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, your chance to win Starkey's Card or Cards of the Week comes by going to our website, 937thefan.com, to the contesting page right around noon, Wednesday through Friday. General, much as I hate to say it, I think the Card of the Week is Patrick Mahomes. Bob, what do you think?
I mean, I couldn't really disagree with that, although I think Saquon Barkley has a lot to do with it. He may be the one guy over all these years who can break Willie Parker's 75-yard Super Bowl touchdown rushing. The guy is explosive, and he was explosive again.
Wonder Twin?
I can't bet against Mahomes. It's probably Patrick.
How are you, General? What do you
Gentlemen,
got?
Good morning. Appreciate you having me. 57 million people watch Kansas City, Buffalo. We got to go with the crowd this week. We're going Patrick Mahomes. Outside of black and gold, that's the number one request we get for football cards, Patrick Mahomes. Hands down. Kids love
what about Barkley? Where is he on this list?
Barkley, this is a little bit of nuance for cards, but because he changed teams, his rookie card is as a Giant, and most people now want him as an Eagle. And there's a little bit of a conflict there card-wise. So he's popular. There's something to be said in the collectible industry about wearing the same colors all your life. So if Patrick Mahomes' rookie was a Seahawk and now he was a Chief, it would be a little different.
Where is General, where is Cordarrelle Patterson on that list? And is there any chance you can get me a card of him taking a pitch out?
I do have cards of him. I could get you. Yeah, Vikings rookie card, actually. But don't get many requests for those. But
I bet not. Lastly, General, this card. Bob, do you still have questions about the Skeens card being found by this 11-year-old?
I seem to think, and Skeens last night, Joe had alluded to it on the Seth Meyers show, said the worst-case scenario would have been some collectible guy, all due respect, getting this card and turning it into something else, which I think everyone would want to do. But 11-year-old kid strikes me as maybe his father. Given how much all of this cost, you know, no 11-year-old kid's going to spend $700 on a collection of cards. So, I mean, I don't know. And I also don't know what he's going to want in return or what his parents may want in return.
Have you seen his story? It's interesting because he asked for the box for Christmas, and his mom didn't get it for him. Lollygagged a little while, and the price went up quite a bit. She bought it on Black Friday, put it away. And as we surmised a couple weeks ago, it was a Christmas gift. He got it out of a pack that he got.
I didn't know that. That's good. That's at least that makes for a fun Christmas gift for sure.
Well, and it's interesting, like, because to Mr. Skeens' assumption, it's a feel-good story, right, that an 11-year-old kid gets it. That's what we all want. Just should have been an 11-year-old kid from Baseball Card Castle.
You would have loved that attention. We would have been over there all day.
It wouldn't even be the attention as much as just feeling good for the people that you associate with every day. But I'm happy that the kid got it. It's a good story. And for all the criticism the Pirates get, man, in a marketing sense, they actually trumped the story. They threw gas on the fire.
Tell me again, General, how much you think the card will be worth to this kid right now. And if, you know, it's like a game show. If he wanted to play Deal or No Deal and he waited 10 years and Skeens became one of the five greatest pitchers who ever lived.
Or not.
Or not. But mm-hmm. but my point would be, what is it worth today, and what would it be worth then if he does what I mentioned or not?
See, I think there's two elements to it, and one is selling the sizzle, right? When you're selling it now, you're selling it with the story. If you wait, it has really only half of it is about Skeens' production. The other half is the sizzle of the story goes away because there will be another story. Cooper Flagg will be hot or someone else will be hot. And that has nothing to do with taking away from Skeens. It has to do with short attention span of American sports consumer. So to me, I sell into the sizzle.
Sizzle?
There were other cards.
So again, what would it be worth right now?
I'm going to say between $1 and $1.5 million.
And if he goes on to become, let's say, the greatest pitcher who ever lived, what would it be worth 10 years from now? Best guess.
$1.5 to $1.8 million, and that's keeping yourself not worried about economic circumstances in the world. There's so many other factors. That's why, to me, here's the perfect analogy. Juan Soto turned down $550 million from the Nationals for what? To get $700? Okay, so he made an extra 150. Percentage-wise, that's what, 30%? But was it worth the downside risk? You follow what I'm saying? To me, especially people that don't have millions of dollars, I'm taking the million.
And I would, too. I mean, if that's the case, because, you know, it's a risk-reward.
Here's the other thing, guys.
If it goes the other way, though, this could fall off.
And not only that, you could give me the million back, and I could reappropriate it into other things that are going to appreciate greater.
Thank you, General.
That's a smart man right there. That's why we call him the General.
That's why we call him the General. See you, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.
Does he do mutual funds?
I don't know what he does. He does a lot. There's literally millions of cards there and all kinds of other things, I might add.